You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Kommer tätt läge, Konstantin Komarek vidare för Noel Gunder, och Gunder kommer fri och gör mål!
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings.
Lampuras tulee myösään vääntämään kulmaukseen. Spik löytää kiekon. Yrittää ruuvata kiekkoa maali edustalle ja siinä kiekko menee reppuun. Sieltä maali edustalta kiekko sisään ja Roni Hirvonen maalin tekijä.
Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men, presented by Manscaped, an official partner of the LA Kings. Thanks to this revolutionary company, manscaping accidents are a thing of the past. Just get yourself the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside, you'll find products like their Lawnmower 3.0, which is advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't cut you. Everything you need to keep trimmed and smelling nice is in the Perfect Package 3.0, and you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINGSMEN at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com, and use the code KINGSMEN. The NHL entry draft is just weeks away, and barring any trades, the Kings will have three picks in the second round, two in the third, two in the fourth, and one each in the fifth, sixth, and seventh rounds. We talked to Rod Braceful from the USNTDP about potential players available to the Kings in those rounds, but today, Jack Jablonski is looking overseas at prospects from Sweden and Finland. Take her away, Jack.
Joining me now to talk about the Swedish prospects coming up in this year's draft is Sweden's own Sixten Funquist. Sixten, how you doing, man?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Jack?
I'm great. Much appreciated for joining us. I know it's a little late over there in Sweden, but hey, it's never a bad time to talk about hockey, is it?
No, it's not that late. I mean, the NHL hockey is live as we speak. I can't remember the teams now, but
yeah, Tampa and New York, yeah.
So I'm going to watch that after we're done here anyway. So
perfect. Well, Sweden and the Kings have quite a relationship. You know, they've taken four players in the last 2 years, and Bjornfoot in the first round last year. You took Fagamo second round, Andre Lee in the seventh, and then a year back before that, Johan Södergren as well. So obviously a connection, and likely that there's a Swedish player coming to the Kings as well, just by chance, based on their history. One of the first players off this list, I think, this year is someone by the name of Noel Gundler, right wing. You know, he played in the SHL, young kid, but kind of a crafty guy. What's a little bit about him that we should know going into the draft?
The first thing I want to bring up with him is there's been rumors about him having attitude problems. I don't know anything about that, but looking into it, talking to other people, there's actually nobody having had said that he has an attitude problem. But having said that, he wasn't in the U18 Swedish team that won the U18 gold, World Championship gold in 2018-19. And despite his raw talent, I can't really see why he shouldn't have been on that team with Lucas Raymond, amongst other players. Mm-hmm. But moving on to his sheer, like, talent-wise, he's an excellent skater. He's got a good shot. There are players we're going to talk about later on that's got a better shot. But he did play in the SHL, like you said. But he only had, he averaged 9 minutes and 49 seconds in the mm-hmm. SHL per game, playing with Luleå. Which in Sweden they're becoming, or if not, they are the powerhouse right now. They're a solid team, always at the top. So it's a hard time cracking that lineup, playing top 6 minutes. But he's a standout talent. Obviously, he's not the biggest of guys. He's 174 pounds, 6'2". So he could build a bit more muscle, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Definitely has the frame. And one of the things is, you mentioned he only averaged about 9 minutes in the SHL. The other league is the Allsvenskan league, and it's something that I want to look at as a comparison. How would you recommend, you know, playing more time in the Allsvenskan league or playing 9 minutes in the SHL? Which is a preference and or the right decision, I guess?
It's tough because it depends on where you go in Allsvenskan, I'd say, because compared to the NHL and the AHL, Allsvenskan is actually more of a, not a competitor, but the teams do compete in a way that the Allsvenskan teams can get promoted to the SHL. We don't have a closed league here.
Okay.
So the teams actually, it's a second tier league through and through. So the teams actually can compete and will at some point meet each other going up and well, avoiding relegation. Mm-hmm. So that kind of decides it. If you play for a top-tier team in Allsvenskan, you play for a very good team. There are some real powerhouses there. We're going to get into that with Carl Grundström, I guess, him being loaned to Björklöven. But so talent-wise, yeah, if you are a raw talent aiming for the NHL, I'd say you, well, there's no like golden road to the NHL, I suppose. But
yeah,
you want to play lots of minutes when you're young, and I think there's a greater chance to do so in a bottom team in the SHL or a top team in Allsvenskan. Mm. That's what I think.
Yeah, and then the next guy here is William Wallander, defenseman, big guy, 6'4", 192, played in the Allsvenskan as well, but also for the junior 20 team. Standard player, very Victor Hedman-esque type of guy, offensively aware. Why don't you break down his game a little bit?
I like his size. Obviously, he's a 6'4", 192-pound left-shooting D-man. You can't really go wrong with those guys, can you? I haven't seen him that much because I mostly cover the SHL and the NHL, so my time is kind of divided there. But he became a solid point producer pretty much this season in the U20 league. So I guess for him moving forward is, can he convert that into playing against men, getting those chances, creating those plays? But he looks really interesting, and I expect him to take, if not one, maybe two or three steps this coming season. I don't think he'll move across the Atlantic Ocean as of now, or whenever the teams actually get hold of the players. For him, it would be very beneficial to play against men here in Sweden just to get acquainted with how he can move his body around, what he can and cannot do, stuff like that. And then for a team like the Kings to bring him over, play in the AHL, get acquainted with a smaller rink, and then move on to the NHL, because I can see him playing in the NHL somewhere down the road.
A little bit of a project there, it sounds like. And
yeah,
that's
what I think. I haven't seen him that much, like I said. So I if you have someone like a second opinion, I would respect that.
For sure. And then I think another guy, based on the research that I've done and just what the scouting reports say, is a guy in an identical situation would be Held Granz, defenseman, again, 6'2", 192. Didn't play a whole lot in the SHL, just 21 games. But at the U20 level, he had a point per game through 27, a guy that has quite a bit of offensive ability from everything that I read. Is he identical in terms of being a project and someone that could take a little bit time to develop, but still has that top end talent that could get him in the NHL?
I actually got the opportunity to see Helge Grounds a bit more, given that he played in the SHL and I do cover them on a nightly basis. He played sheltered minutes, but you should keep in mind that he did so as a 17-year-old. He turned 18 in May. He was a point per game player in the U20, which says a lot. He's a right shot D man, quite a big guy, 192 pounds as well, 6'3". And I when I read up on him like a while back, I found that a TV pundit in Sweden called him, hailed him as better than Rasmus Dahlin, which is quite the praise.
Wow.
And to which he replied, "Is the guy completely insane?" So I don't know. I think he stands firmly with his 2 feet on the ground. I do know that the general manager in Malmö, which is the Swedish SHL team he plays for, they hold him really high, and they would want to make sure he reaches the NHL. And they've actually said so. We're going to help him make the leap across the Atlantic Ocean one day. So, and when he compares him to Rasmus Andersson of Calgary Flames, and also in terms of sheer talent with Andrei Burakovsky, given the fact, well, they're on different positions, but still, it's they hold him in high regards for sure. He's been with Malmö since he was 15. He came from a smaller team, Troja Ljungby, but they really, really like him. And they, I think, in terms of projects, they will do the work for most of the work for the NHL team. And I can see him, when he makes the jump to the NHL, he can compete for a spot right away. But I don't expect him to do so this season or maybe even next. Mm. I really like his play.
So he's a guy that's projected in the 45 range, second rounder. As
he
the majority
could be a bit of a diamond in rough, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. So the majority of the guys that we're covering are right in that second, third round. Obviously, the Kings have five picks in the second and the third round, so a lot of availabilities here. Three picks later, at least in your mock draft, depending on where you look, you've got a guy who's a winger, can play both left and right wing, Zion Nybeck. Now, he's a little smaller, but he's looks like he's a little bull-legged at 175, even though he's 5'8". Great player, 66 points in the Super Elite League within 42 games. Everything that we see here, maybe one of the fastest players in the draft, you know, tenacious, not afraid to play up against bigger guys. Is he someone that, even though at his size, can take on the big guys?
I think so, yeah. But just hold on, just to stay with those that point per game average. He's got the 12th best point per game average in the Super Elite League for the juniors ever.
Wow.
I got the list in front of me, the 11 players who's got the better record. It's Carl Soderberg, Franz Nielsen, Daniel Sandin. let's see. There's another one. Yeah, some guy named Anze Kopitar. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
He
sounds familiar.
Yeah, I think so. So he's in good company, I'd say. Mm-hmm. I like this guy. I really do. I lost my notes now, though. There we go. He's a bullet. He's so fast, both with and without the puck. Size does matter, I guess, in a league like the NHL, because you don't see the really small guys making it nowadays, because the way I look at the game, it's faster and it's more technical, but you still have the big bodies, well, stopping play, really. But I like his skill with the stick. Add some muscles to that body and, well, he could be...
See where it goes.
Yeah. He's stated that he aims to play all 52 games in the SHL this coming season, which is a nice claim, I'd say, and very possible.
Got it. And so we go back to the defensive side of things, and Emil Andre, defenseman, a smaller guy, 5'9", again, 183, but even as a defenseman, he put up 38 points in the Super Elite League in the under 20 or junior 20s.
Yep.
40 games, 38 points, smaller, you know, Quinn Hughes-like in terms of puck movement, maybe some would say. Hockey IQ is something that people talk about highly of him. Again, 5'9", but seems like a guy that can definitely make a difference on the ice.
Yes, we should keep in mind that he was first in scoring among D-men in the Super Elite League in the junior leagues, and he was fourth in penalty minutes. So he likes to throw his body around, and he stands up. I like this guy. I really do. And both Zion Nybeck and Emil Andre will be playing in the SHL full-time this season. I do know that they had a bit of a competition in getting their driver's license, because they're both young and they play with the same team. I think Andre was the first guy getting it, but I'm not sure. I haven't seen him that much because he didn't play that much in the SHL. I'm really looking forward to watching HV71 in general this season, chief amongst which being Zion Nybeck and Emil Andre, and me liking high-scoring D-men. Emil Andre is quite high on my list pretty much throughout the league. And with HV71 having quite a solid D-core with a few offensive D-men, I think Andre can tally a few points, not for free, so to speak, but I think he can make a statement as like a diamond in the rough in the league, not necessarily heading over to the NHL right now. But yeah, he's a really interesting guy as well.
Speaking of diamond in the rough, you know, we get to this next player who's probably my favorite one in terms of the most intriguing. Someone who is the definition of boomer bust or high risk, high reward in Theodore Niederbach. Centerman, it's, you know, he's been injury prone. He missed 2018-2019 season with a knee injury. But it sounds like this guy can score and play at the highest level of them all. 57th projected, 5'11", 172, 40 points in 48 games. Where do you see him if he's healthy?
I haven't seen him play that much because he only played with the U20 league. I talked to Uffe Bodin of Hockey Sverige and Elite Prospects, and he's really high on Theodor Niederbach. Like you said, he was injured throughout the 18-19 campaign altogether. I expect him to make, if not make the team full-time, at least play some minutes in the SHL heading into this season. I mean, like you said, the sky's the limit pretty much for this guy. Having lost almost an entire season and then coming back, having such a good season, like the season like he had, well, until it got cancelled, says about a lot about his work ethic. And if that kind of sets the tone, then you don't know where it'll all end up, I guess.
Yeah. And the last guy here we have on our list is someone who's projected to go in the late second round, and Daniel Torgeson, also a guy who can play both wings, big power forward, but doesn't necessarily play as physical as people talk. You know, he's 6'3", 205, again, had averaged over a point a game in the junior elite league. Someone who I think people talk about has, you know, the size, but doesn't necessarily use it to his advantage. Agree, disagree, and what do you think about his game moving forward?
Firstly, I think he'll play most of the coming season with the Super Elite team because Frölunda needs to have a good start heading into the season. They started really bad last season. So if they don't have a good start, I can see him moving up and getting some minutes. But I expect him to play mostly junior hockey this season. But, I mean, the guy opened up with 3 goals and 1 assist in the first 2 games this season and ended with 26 goals and 18 assists in 39 games, regular season, that is, last season. So I think it's all a matter of transitioning to playing against men because, obviously, he's got the skills to pretty much create what he wants when he wants. And that's the thing with junior players making the leap in general, I'd say. They have to find that spot or that little bit extra. And not every one of the names we've been talking about might do that. But if he stays healthy and gets some minutes in the SHL this season, why not? I mean, he played 6 games with Frölunda the last season. How about 10 or 15 more?
Yeah, I asked the guys we had on from the National Development Program in the United States. And along with that, when we talked about the Finland prospects as well, so I'm going to ask you the same question. You know, you take into consideration who the Kings have drafted in the last 2 years from Sweden, you know, put on your GM hat. Who do you see as the best fit going towards the Kings organization of the guys we've talked about?
Looking at what you guys, I'd say you guys, what the Kings need heading forward. Jesus, that's a rough question, man.
I know, it's a tough one. That's why we pay the GMs the big bucks, right?
I could use the big bucks. I'd say Helge Grans, really. Everyone likes a right shooting D-man. And if he just, you know, if he finds that spot on the ice, and because he's so calm and collected with the puck, moving it around, one-man advantage, 5-on-5, he rarely gets stressed, even when under pressure. And I think heading forward, going forward for the Kings, they need someone calm and collected, taking that reign from whenever Drew Doughty.
Yeah, good point.
Quits or whatever, because yeah, I like Helge Grans a lot. I really do.
And now, before I let you go, Sexton, I just want to point out that the Kings loaned 2 players to Sweden in the, I believe it was the Allsvenskan League, and Carl Grundström and Samuel Fagamo. Can you break down a little bit about the teams that they're going to and a little bit of the roles that you think that they'll be able to play until they come back to the NHL?
Let's start with Grundström because he goes to Björklöven, who are projected to be one of the really powerhouses in Hockey Allsvenskan. They were really close when the season got cancelled. They and Modo were in the top two teams of Hockey Allsvenskan, really battling for promotion through qualification games, obviously. And I expect Björklöven to be there once again. They've solidified their team, covered up their losses really well, and I can see Grundström being... I expect him to be a top 6 player, obviously. But in terms of roles, I think it all boils down to because you don't want to lean too much on these guys when the, because they're going to leave at some point. And
yeah.
So you don't want to kind of build your whole season on them. Although a player like Rundström can obviously make a huge difference in the second tier league in Sweden. And he I think he comes back home, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's from up there somewhere. He's played with them before. Let me check that because I don't want to make any statement that's completely inaccurate here. But I think he played with them before. That's what's kind of the deal, him moving back. Let's see. Well, there's no swearing, sorry. He started with Björklund. Yeah, so he heads back home. And that's kind of, you know, profit in your own town kind of thing. So I really like him moving back, but as in terms of roles, it's up in the air really, because they got a stacked team to be playing second tier hockey. But I expect, let's say he plays 10 or 15, maybe 20 games before camp starts. Yeah, he should be a 15, 20 point player, point per game. That's for sure.
Okay. And then we'll go to Fagamo here. Where is he heading exactly? And then, you know, what do we expect from him in terms of, you know, being able to make a statement and or just be able to make an impact?
In terms of both statement roles and impact, I expect him to be more in the front lines, because Södertälje is more of a middle team. They in the past seasons, they've started up the seasons really poorly, being actually in the bottom two or three teams, battling to avoid relegation in the start, and then finishing somewhere in the middle. And Södertälje really needs to get things going off the start, because losing those, we have a 3-point system in Sweden, so 3 points in regular time, and then 2 points for overtime and penalty shootout wins, with a bonus point into that losing team. So getting those 3-pointers in early for Södertälje is vital. And with Fagimo scoring 22 points in 42 games in the SHL last season, he should be more than a point of player if he just gets the right surroundings. I expect him to play first line. I really do. And he should play first line, power play, you name it. Be the extra skater, because he's the joker there. Should also point out that Södertälje loaned Evan Bouchard from the Edmonton Oilers. So they're stacking up quite well.
Ooh, okay. Well, Sixten Funquist, I appreciate the time. Thank you for staying up here, it's a little later out there in Sweden. And we'll see if any Swedes end up in Kings uniforms and hear their name on draft day.
Let's hope so.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me on once again, guys.
Hey, thank you. Joining me now is a Finnish enthusiast who's been in the hockey world for quite a while now over in Finland, Krister Kasurainen. Krister, how you doing?
Nice. It's evening already here. We're like looking at 11 p.m., but yeah, still frisky. I was like really, really like, it was fun that I was contacted once again, and like waiting forward for the interview/analysis.
Hey, well, we appreciate you taking the time, obviously, it being late at night with the time difference from Finland to here. So thank you for that. And no, we're happy to have you. So before we get into the draft, in terms of looking at the Finnish prospects here, the Kings made a move with Jacob Mavrare, who was loaned over to Sipa in the Liiga in Finland. Can you tell us a little bit about what to expect with him moving over to the Finnish league and Liiga?
I think that with Saipa is that it's one of the smaller Liiga teams, and they're like situated in a part of Finland that has like these small, really like many small villages/cities. So it's a very enthusiast country for like hockey and for this like organization. But I'd say that he was brought there to be like there in the top lines to begin with.
Okay.
Already, I think. So they have like surprised people with like good loans/ foreign picks for years now, and they are actually doing it really like resource efficiently as well. So I'm thinking that we'll be seeing a lot of playtime for him there in that organization.
For those of the people that may be unaware, you know, he was recently in Frölunda in the Swedish Hockey League. He is Swedish. What is the difference a little bit between, say, you know, the way that the NHL and the AHL play the game compared to what's going on in Sweden and the Finnish league as well, on what to expect there?
I'd say basically the difference maker with like the Swedish league and the Finnish league is the what I'd say in my opinion is that the physical side of the game is much more apparent here in Finland, and it's more like with the like the Swedish side, it's this like talent based, like very fast scoring game with lots of like agility and less of like physical contact. So I'd say that if you compare like Swedish and Finnish hockey, is that Finnish hockey is a bit more kind of the same as you have there in the stateside, and like Swedish hockey is a bit more compared to, for example, to the Switzerland league, I'd say. So it's this okay. European-based, skill-based thing more nowadays.
So as we move to the draft here, you know, there's roughly six top prospects in Finland that are expected to go in anywhere between, say, the late first and all the way to the fourth or fifth round. You know, the Kings recently in the last 2 years have had two Finnish picks. You know, you took it Rasmus Kupari in 2018 in the first round, 20th overall, and then in the fourth round this past year with Kim Nusanen. Funky name, in 2019. So we have a connection, and there's obviously a recency that we can tell that we've been in Finland. So there's a chance that the Kings go with the Finnish prospect. There's six that we have on our list. The first one I want to get to is a guy who's a little undersized, little light on, you know, when it comes to weight. Roni Hirvonen, centerman, 5'9", but extremely skilled. You know, what's something about him, and, you know, what do we expect if that guy gets drafted to the Kings?
So I'd say that, like, stereotypically, I'm not, like, signing it to that he would be, like, with the same level of maybe, but kind of the same player than Sebastian Aho, I'd say. So okay. He has, like, he's a very talented, like, offensive-wise, but I'd say that he can also surprise on the defensive side of the rink. So I'd say that, like, everything you think about Sebastian Aho, that they've been, like, here in Finnish media, they've been, like, very often they've been talked in the same sentences. So a bit smaller, but very talented and very good at, like, playmaking.
So as an 18-year-old, he played in the Liga as well. A lot of these kids, 18-year-olds, some of them played in the U20 league, some played in Liga. How much of a step up is Liga from the U20?
Huge, especially that, like, physical side of the game is the way you get into the men's game. But let's say the similarity with all of these six players is that they've had their, like, first men's games already before the age of 18. So they are, like, few of them are a bit more lightweighted and such, but I'd say that the way the hockey world is going at the moment is that you can already, like, compensate pretty much, like, with, like, smaller sizes, that if you're, like, you gotta have a good hockey sense and you're a fast skater and all these other attributes.
Like Hirvonen, you've got another defenseman here, 6'1", 165, who also played in Liga. Topi Niemelä, defenseman.
Topi Niemelä is the, yeah.
Niemelä, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. He's someone who, you know, he's up in age, hasn't looked out of place up in the Liga. You know, some compare him to, like, a Matt Niskanen in Philadelphia. What do you think of that comparison? And overall, Niemelä, what is he like?
Niemelä is pretty interesting defenseman. Of course, like, the first thing I always think about him is that he's from the Kärpät system. So Kärpät has been the best league team now for, like, let's say the last decade. So he's one of their, like, top prospects coming up in the things, and always with, like, the Kärpät players, okay, like Sebastian Aho, Jesse Puljujärvi, and people who have come before him, is a kind of a thing that you are still thinking that, is he the player actually he is because of he's, like, surrounded with, like, this good talent, or is it that he's doing him by himself? To still say to that is that he was still leading the U18 defenseman in the whole Liga last season with, like, 1+6. So he's already, like, capable at a young age to, like, produce also points-wise. But yet, as I read in the like the Finnish media, is that he's still a bit lacking on the size department, and he's still getting in like in physical game, he's still getting a bit overpowered with like with the men's hockey.
Yeah, speaking of, you know, getting, you know, outsized or being undersized, there's another guy who's projected to go somewhere in the late second, potentially the third round, in Kasper Simontaval. He's a right wing.
Yeah, Simontaival, yeah.
Simontaival, 5'9", 172. You know, he played at Tappara in the U20, had 57 points in 48 games, you know, fifth most points for anyone under the age of 18. You know, someone who I think people have compared to maybe a Kyler Yamamoto, who played in Edmonton and broke out this season with Leon Draisaitl. One thing that they talk about this guy is he's extremely talented, but a little injury prone, you know, somewhat of the boom or bust type of pick. Right. If this guy's healthy, you know, how good can he be, and where do you see him going?
Kind of like, I'd say that with him, he's been like in the news from when he was like 14 years of age. He's kind of this like stereotypical like sniper nowadays, is that he's like one of the best goal scorers of his like age group, and has been so for like consecutively like many years ago. He hasn't made the like kind of the step still very well to the men's game, but he's like, I was looking at like these deep statistics, is that like every like scoring category you have like all the prospects in them, is that he's topping them all at the moment. So he's compared to something like, I don't know if you remember a player by the name of Teemu Pulkkinen, who actually never made it. He was playing for Detroit and a couple of other NHL teams, is that he didn't make it, but he's like the on the goal side, he's kind of like speak again in the same sentences as it is with him. But yeah, a sniper, but still with good playmaking skills also, that he has like already, he's also this like kind of a player that is hard to predict, is that he can score the goal, but he can still like put the pass onto somebody else and he scores and such. So very, very versatile player, but yes, small as well again.
Yeah, and back up to a larger defenseman in 6'170" here, Emil Vero, defenseman. He spent the majority of the year in Liga with TPS. You know, only 3 assists in 29 games, but still, for someone who's 18, that's obviously extremely impressive. Someone who's been compared to maybe an Esa Lindell, who we've obviously heard a lot about during the playoffs. You know, great skater. You know, second, third rounder. What should we know about this guy?
Two-way defenseman, I'd say that it's still, he's a bit, as it was talked about in Finnish media, is that he's still a bit bad in under the pressure situations. But he's kind of this guy that in a game that if you don't notice him, he's doing all the things correctly in his game. So he's more of a defense kind of a guy, but there's still like some sort of a hope on him that he'll get like power play time and start producing points as well. But his step up to the men's hasn't like gone as efficiently like with the three other people on top of him on this list. But I'd say that he's a kind of a like this has leadership qualities, high emphasis on defense, really a hard worker, and really good on physical game. Like those are his like top things that were mentioned about him, like many things.
The next one here is somewhat of a power forward, but a big guy at 6'2" and 185 at the age of 17. Roby
Järventie, yeah.
Järventie, thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
This guy, you know, point per game in the league that he was in, has everything offensively from what, you know, everyone reads. How talented is this guy, and where do you see his ceiling?
To put it, actually, he's like the Finnish royalty, who comes from a family. So his father, Martti Järventie, is a longtime veteran of the Liga. He played in the Liga for 20 years, and he was like also part of like two Finnish championships and everything. So he's been kind of like groomed from the get-go to be a big talent. And his father was a defenseman, and this guy more of a like power forward of like nowadays. He doesn't take that much penalties. He's a good goal scorer, but he can still like score most of his goals also not from like slap shots or like getting like good passes to and such. So he can like grind himself to the top, like to the top of the crease and score also from there. So he doesn't, he's a bit like injury prone also because he doesn't like save himself up too much. So he's a very physical player as well. But like similar to Kasper Simon Taival, he's been this kind of a guy that he's been talked about already for like 3, 4, 5 years.
One of the downsides that at least the scouts have, you know, talked about him is his lack of defensive zone presence. Is he a guy that you see is moldable into being able to commit there, or is that just something that he's probably not going to be able to keep up with and he's just extremely offensive minded?
No, well, how I see it is that if he becomes a 30 goal scorer in the NHL, then he doesn't have to that much.
That is true.
I'd say with his like profile, I'd say that he'd still be like bottom six player, and with a good day he'd be the top six. So I think that if he wants to make the transition into like American hockey, and also on top of that, if he wants to start succeeding there, I think that he has to add some components to his defensive game. But I've seen the kid play actually a few times during the last seasons, and he's really fun to watch. Like really, really a crowd favorite. But of course, of his father's like this like really big aura on him as well. But he's a really, really, really fun guy to look at.
The last guy we have here is probably the most intriguing prospect, at least from my perspective, and I think yours as well. Joni Jurmo, defenseman, huge, 6'4", 200 pounds, large frame. You know, he had 28 points as a defenseman in 43 games. This guy's stock has been rising rapidly in the past 6 months. What about him is the reason why it's rising, and is he someone that is a must-have, say, come draft day?
Yeah, I'd say, as I was discussing this with other people as well, is that I think he's, from these Finnish prospects, he's the kind of like the black horse. And I haven't even heard of him that much, but he actually surprised everybody like recently with the tournament of the five countries, where there were like actually top like scouts there also from the United States. Looking at him, he was actually the best scorer in the Finnish team with 3+3. So this is like junior hockey, like the tournament of five countries. So he really surprised with the like the stats department there, and also one of the leading like scout. I think he's leading the NHL European scouting. The old guy called Göran Stubb, who told everybody that he's like 6'4". Yes. But he's a really good skater, and he also added that he's not a really good skater of his size, but in all, he's a good skater. So it's not just of his size, but he's a really strong skater.
The most common comparison that I've read about is someone that they think he's a lot like Brett Burns. Is that a fair comparison?
Could say so. Yeah, I'd say that still like Brent Burns, at least in my books, is a bit more skill-oriented guy. Okay. I'd say that what you're getting from this guy, he might start producing, but this like 3+3 in that tournament, that was like above his normal, what he's used to doing. So kind of say that, yeah, if he gets like to the point and he's so wait, I'm lost words for a while. So if he continues to develop as he's developing now, there's a possibility of that. But I'd still see him as more of this like two-way defenseman who can like, if needed, produce, but mostly that he'll be on the defensive side of the game.
You know, lastly here, Krister, I'm going to have you put on your general manager hat. You know, you take into consideration where the Kings organization is, and it seems to be that they're building a lot of skill around what looks to be their future. If you're the Kings general manager on draft day, say one of these names come across where we're picking, who's the guy that you would take first, given the situation for these guys?
From the six list?
Yes.
I'd say that like the most interesting guy for like the Kings, because I think that the Los Angeles Kings has been like looking to downsize in size a bit. So I'd say that I'd go with like Kasper Simontaival, with the sniper guy third on the list. He's a smaller guy, but I think that still, like, now that it looks also in the NHL that you don't need to be like 6 foot whatever and 200 pounds in weight to be able to play there. I think that these like smaller sniper type guys, they are like interesting to watch. And they are like at the moment like Finnish like goal scorers like Patrick Laine, Sebastian Aho, Teuvo Teräväinen, and it is like already a proven fact that they can produce also in the NHL. So I'd say with Kasper Simontaival, and it's pretty like accurate with the, is it like the 59th he's like at the moment,
right around that late second.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Christopher, I appreciate the time. Thank you for staying up here, even though it's late over in Finland. And we've got the draft just less than a month away now that it's been moved up. And we'll see if Kasper Simontaival is in a Kings uniform come draft day. Thank you.
Yeah. It was very nice to talking with you, Jack.